InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Nowadays, there's an epidemic of scams, schemes, and cons. And if you think only stupid and gullible folks get scammed, the reality is you could fall for one of those scams just as easily.
So it's easy to see in hindsight all of the red flags that people fell for and to think, I never would have fallen for that. But the reality is that no matter how educated, sophisticated, smart you are, if a scam targets you, you can be caught by it.
Then, it's been called the daycare myth, thinking that childcare and education are separate.
We know that the first 3 years, really the period from prenatal to age three, is the single most consequential period in all of human development.
Those two interviews and much more are ahead on this week's edition of InfoTrack. The show begins right after this.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a walk-up with central air and a skylight, and you found it. Now, every Friday night, you get to fall asleep to the sound of your downstairs neighbor's dance parties. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
It's the most wonderful time of the year on Pluto TV. Get all your holiday favorites absolutely free. Cozy up with festive classics like Bad Santa 2 and Scrooged to get you in the holiday spirit. Plus, heartwarming movies from Lifetime and Hallmark movies and more holiday favorites. Explore entire channels guaranteed to spread the cheer with bright lights, festive fireplaces, and the holiday music you love. We've got something for everyone. Season's greetings from Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Order for Jennifer C.
Is this my double shot, double cream, double froth, double pump, double hot, double whip, double sleeve?
Yeah. Can you handle that much caffeine?
Hey, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Well, I do now.
Seriously, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Yeah, you just said that.
Did you say I just said that?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
Did you say you're cutting me off?
You earn, we match. Unlimited cash back match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The holidays are here at the Home Depot, so let's get to decorating. Find your perfect tree in our huge assortment of shapes, sizes, and styles. Like the easy-to-assemble Jackson Noble Fir, with pre-lit branches perfect for styling with all your favorite ornaments. Or the Flock Starry Light Fraser Fir, with over 1,900 pre-lit memory wire branches that keep their shape so it's ready right out of the box.
Ooh.
Find the perfect tree now at the Home Depot.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
If you haven't yet been targeted by a scam or scheme, you may be soon, because Americans are being targeted by fraudsters more than ever before. How can you avoid getting conned? Here with the story, InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Dan Simons, professor in the psychology department at the University of Illinois. He's now out with the book, Nobody's Fool, Why We Get Taken In and What We Can Do About It. Dan, you say it's dangerous and wrong to think that only gullible, uneducated, or hopelessly naive people get conned. Explain that.
Yeah, it's an easy conclusion that people tend to jump to because we've got so much exposure to cons and scams in the movies and podcasts and in the media. And whenever we see one of those cases, we recognize that it is a scam. So it's easy to see in hindsight all of the red flags that people fell for and to think, I never would have fallen for that. So we tend to come to this conclusion that, well, if somebody fell for it, they must have been really clueless or naive or gullible. But the reality is that whenever we're the target of a scam or a con, we can be fooled. No matter how educated, sophisticated, smart you are, if a scam targets you, you can be caught by it.
So it's structured to target certain people.
Many scams are. I mean, some scams aren't. So if you get an email asking you if you want to help out somebody who is trying to recover some vast fortune, that one's not targeted. That one's blasted out to everybody, and they're trying to capture the people who are likely to fall for it at that moment. But the more sophisticated scams can target experts. There are scams that target professors who study scams.
That's hard to believe. But let's go back to the foreign rich guy asking our help to unlock his financial nest egg. You say the misspellings and broken English are deliberately used. How does that work and why?
They can be. In some ways, they're a feature, not a bug, because when you think about how that scam works now, it's by sending out millions of emails. And the scammers don't want to spend time interacting with people who are not going to send money in the end. They want to only catch the people who are most likely to fall victim to it. And people who spot all those crazy typos and weird address are not the kinds of people who are likely to go through and send them money. So it helps them to select the people who are going to be their targets because the targets select themselves. In the same way that if you get a call asking you if you want to extend your car's warranty and it's a recorded message, the people who call back have self-selected into the scam. And that's the same thing with that sort of prince sending their vast fortunes to you if you help them scam. It's counting on people to self-select into the scam and for people who wouldn't fall for it to filter themselves out so they don't have to waste their time with those people.
So interesting. And you bring up the so-called truth bias in that we tend to trust what we're told. Give us a couple of examples of those.
Sure. I mean, truth bias is something that we absolutely have to have in order to function as a society. It's just the tendency to assume that when you're interacting with somebody, when they tell you something, that they're not trying to fool you or deceive you. And if we went through life assuming that everything everybody said was deceptive, like you ask somebody, which way is the bathroom? And they say it's over to the right. It's like, no, you're deceiving me. We wouldn't go through life effectively communicating with other people. The problem with the truth bias is that we tend to assume when we hear something that it's true, and it takes effort to question it later. And what scammers will do is keep you in that state as long as they can. They'll keep you in that state of not questioning, not second guessing through various tactics to get you to then fall victim to what they're trying to get you to do.
I heard one person tell my sister, oh, you don't have to worry about that, when she raised an issue.
Yeah.
The person just flat out told her, don't ask questions.
Yeah, and it's a common tactic to keep people in a high stress, high anxiety, time pressured moment so that they don't have time to stop and think, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense.
Next, the fraudster who tries to provide precise details, maybe about a product's supposed benefits. How does this approach con people?
Well, it's actually a kind of information that we find particularly appealing, what we call a hook. It's something that we find appealing, so we don't tend to question it as much as we should. And partly the issue is that when you get really precise information, that's usually, when it's true, a predictor of something that people really understand. So if somebody makes a really precise forecast and it comes true exactly, that's a sign that their model might have been pretty good about how the world was working. The problem, of course, is that a scammer takes advantage of that by presenting precise information without any relationship to the truth. They don't have to be right. They just have to seem precise. And we use our heuristic of relying on that precision as an indicator of understanding, of meaning, of depth, of truth, to then fall for it.
We're visiting with Dan Simons, a professor in the psychology department at the University of Illinois, where he directs the Visual Cognition Laboratory. He's an author of Nobody's Fool, Why We Get Taken In, and What We Can Do About That. Let's go back to the truth bias. Practically speaking, what can we do to be more objective in assessing what we're being told?
It's a great question, and it's not a simple one to answer. Part of the issue is that we have to decide when to spend the effort, when to spend the time questioning whether something might be false. And we tend to need to figure out when to do that when it's going to be most beneficial to us. We can't go through life being a permanent skeptic about everything we see and hear because we could never function. We have to decide what are the moments when we have to do that. And the moments when we have to do that are times when the consequences of being wrong could be huge. So you don't need to second guess whether the grocery store is lying about the price of something or whether that apple on the counter there is organic or not. That's probably not a life or death thing. But if you're trying to decide where to invest your retirement and somebody makes you an offer that sounds amazing, that's when you should really be questioning.
And it seems like a tough one to cast aside the reliance on precise claims that make a person seem so on top of it. Your advice?
Ask more questions. What's the evidence for that? And asking more questions is sort of a general tactic to use to address a lot of these problems, that sometimes just asking one more question will reveal more issues that you can then ask about. Another thing you can always do when you're given an offer that just sounds amazing and promising is to talk to somebody independent of that offer, somebody who's on the outside who might be able to take an objective view of it. And quite often, we've ran across many cases when we were writing our book of people who managed to not fall for a scam because somebody else walked in the middle of what was happening and said, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. But when you're immersed in it, when you accept the truth of what was initially said and you don't have the time to expend the effort to question it, you miss things.
And the idea of something being so consistent, performing consistently, like, oh, this stock consistently delivers X return. That's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's another case in which most of the time, consistency is a great thing. It means that if you can get the same result over and over again, that's generally a sign that you understand how things work. But in some contexts, we don't expect consistency. Stock investing is one. The stock market goes up and down, and there's a lot of randomness there. And if somebody's promising to give you consistent returns year after year, month after month, with never a down cycle, that's probably not true. That was actually what Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme did for 15 years. He never had a down year and almost never had a down month. That's just not possible if you're investing in a volatile stock market. But people didn't really think to question how consistency in that case was not a sign of understanding. It was a sign of fraud.
Is there any other piece of advice you want people to hear and heed for sure?
I think recognizing that anybody can be targeted. And if you are targeted, you won't necessarily spot the signs in that moment. So taking a step back and saying, there's almost never a case where an offer is going to vanish, never to return again. There's almost never a time-pressured situation where you have to respond by sending people cash immediately. Those sorts of things are extraordinarily rare. No matter how much time pressure people put you under, taking a step back and saying, wait a second, this doesn't really make sense, or just asking yourself, could this be a scam, can help prevent you from getting caught by it.
All good advice. Dan Simons, professor in the psychology department at the University of Illinois, thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me on.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
Next, are we wrong about early childcare and education? That story, as InfoTrack continues.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this. Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's winds blowing across a fruited plain and also your new fire pit, which subsequently sets your gazebo ablaze. It's American. It's hard-hitting football and an even harder-hitting price estimate from your general contractor. That's a star-spangled bummer. It's also around-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free. And I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants. I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Order for Jennifer C.
Is this my double shot, double cream, double froth, double pump, double hot, double whip, double sleeve?
Yeah. Can you handle that much caffeine?
Hey, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Well, I do now.
Seriously, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Yeah, you just said that.
Did you say I just said that?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
Did you say you're cutting me off?
You earn We Match, unlimited cash back match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Time to work on your gift list with Black Friday deals at the Home Depot. Right now, get a select tool from top brands like Ryobi and Milwaukee for free when you buy a select battery kit. Choose from reciprocating saws, multi-tools, sanders, and more. Whether you're stocking up on power for your personal workshop or grabbing the perfect gift for someone else's, get Black Friday tool deals delivered from the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
A century ago, early childhood policies were formulated based on how we should best manage childcare and education. But what if those policies made the wrong assumptions? With the details, here's InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Dan Worry, author of The Daycare Myth, What We Got Wrong About Early Care and Education, and What We Should Do About It. Dr. Worry, tell us what inspired you to write this book.
Well, I have been working in the field of early childhood education for 30 years now, and have noticed over time a real disconnect between what we know from the science of early development and how that knowledge is sort of enacted, or in many cases in this country, not well enacted in our public policy. And so the book is really an effort to kind of bridge the two, to connect the science of early learning and what we do about it.
So what do you see are the biggest problems with childcare and early education today?
We have sort of a fundamental misunderstanding of the early years at this point. In this country, we have a 100-year history of sort of a false dichotomy. We think of care as being something that is needed by very young children, but we think of learning and education as something frequently that starts at kindergarten, for example. You know, I've worked over the years with many policymakers who talk about the goal of, you know, having children arrive at kindergarten ready to learn, as though that is where learning begins. But what we know from decades of science at this point is that learning is not only occurring from day one, but important forms of learning are actually beginning in utero. That, for example, young children begin absorbing the rhythms and the patterns of their mother's native language during the final trimester and demonstrate their preference and maybe their cognitive orientation around that language, even in the hours right after birth. And so the way that we have traditionally thought about this dichotomy between care and education is sort of at the heart of the title of the book, The Daycare Myth. And what I'm referring to in that title is the idea that there is this thing that exists called daycare that is simply a safe, warm place for children to be kept safely while their parents are at work, that is kind of separate and distinct from education. And we know that that's not the case. We know that, you know, for young children, all environments are learning environments, and it's really a matter of optimizing those and making sure they're of the best quality they can be.
How does the separation of these two, care and education, impact children's development?
If you think about early childhood education programs, there's a real difference when you think of sort of the fundamental question of what is this service providing, right? If you're staffed up and have built a business around the idea that the task here is simply to keep children safe and warm and happy and well-fed for 8 hours while their parents are at work, that's one way of thinking. But recasting that as an opportunity to really maximize early brain development to optimize early development more broadly is a very different proposition that gets to the kinds of experiences and interactions that young children would benefit from most. And it also gets very much to the question of who is providing these interactions and how are we compensating them? The early childhood workforce in this country right now, you know, is typically paid at or near minimum wage. As a matter of fact, according to recent data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, those individuals are making roughly 60 cents an hour less than dog walkers at this point. And so the book is a bit of a call to reconceptualize the early years and the importance of those who provide those services, both outside of the home, but certainly inside the home as well.
We're talking with Dan Worry, the author of The Daycare Myth, What We Get Wrong About Early Care and Education and What We Should Do About It. In addition to pay, tell us about some of the other policy changes that you advocate for.
Well, certainly just the recognition even that these settings are kind of second only to the home in terms of their importance. But there are a whole list of ways that state and federal policy may actually be undermining the stability and solvency of the child care industry in this country. One way that that is happening that is very prominent and important for policymakers to think really carefully about is that there tends to be an over-reliance on school districts for the delivery of those services. And I want to be careful in saying that to note that as states have expanded publicly funded pre-kindergarten, for example, school district programs tend to be fantastic. So it's not a question of whether these are high quality programs. The challenge comes in that school districts have not traditionally been the service delivery provider of services for very young children, that has been the domain of private childcare providers and church preschools and home-based childcare service providers, just to name a few. And when school districts come and sort of drain off of that existing ecosystem, 3 and 4-year-olds who can be served at a slightly better profit margin, then it really threatens to destabilize the availability of infant toddler care in the country, which is really provided by preschools almost as a loss leader. It's almost impossible to even break even for programs because service to infants in particular is just so labor intensive. And so there is a real danger in oversaturating the market within public school districts that we could eliminate services for younger children.
How about some final words of advice for parents?
From a policy perspective, policymakers really need to hear from families of young children. And so sharing your experience and sharing the hardships that your family may be experiencing during this time is awfully important in terms of helping to drive reform in our policy. And so, you know, reaching out to policymakers for parents is an important role that they can play in helping to make the system better. In terms of picking an early childhood education provider for themselves, just bear in mind, we know that the first 3 years, really the period from prenatal to age 3, is the single most consequential period in all of human development. And so if your child is going to be accessing services outside the home, you need to understand that what you're doing here is really not just choosing a babysitter. What you're selecting is really the adults who will help to co-construct your child's brain. And so make those choices carefully and be looking as you explore those programs for the quality of interactions between adults and children. That's an indicator that is much more important, for example, than a beautiful sort of state-of-the-art building. I always say between a pretty building and deeply engaged adults, go with the adults every time.
And if parents do want to share their opinions with policymakers, are those policymakers going to be found on the local level or state or federal or all of the above?
Really all of the above. Congress has an important role to play at the federal level. The federal government is a primary funder, if not in many states, the primary funder of things like childcare subsidies for low-income families. But it's also very important to recognize that a lot of these decisions are made at the state and even at the local sort of community level. And so outreach to your state lawmakers, to your governor's office, and even to city and town council, county council members, school board members, and so on. All of these are important opportunities for parents.
Dan Worry, the author of The Daycare Myth, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's sea to shining sea and water damage as far as the eye can see. It's America. It's freshly mowed grass and a fence that was freshly vandalized by a pack of unruly teens. It's America. It's also around-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
It's the most wonderful time of the year on Pluto TV. Get all your holiday favorites absolutely free. Cozy up with festive classics like Bad Santa 2 and Scrooged to get you in the holiday spirit. Plus, heartwarming movies from Lifetime and Hallmark movies and more holiday favorites. Explore entire channels guaranteed to spread the cheer with bright lights, festive fireplaces, and the holiday music you love. We've got something for everyone. Season's greetings from Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Protein bars, shakes, and powders are increasingly popular among adults. Many teens may be jumping on the bandwagon too, but is that a good idea? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is back to find out. Roy?
Thanks again, Chris. We're talking with Sarah Clark, research scientist in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Michigan and co-director of the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health. Sarah, your study found some interesting information regarding teens and their use of protein supplements. Tell us what you learned.
We found that this is actually a really common issue that parents are thinking about with regard to their teens. The first thing is that one in five parents thinks their teen doesn't get enough protein on a day-to-day basis.
Is that true, that teens don't get enough protein, or is that something that's maybe a misconception?
I actually think it's really hard for parents to tell, because most of us don't have terribly detailed knowledge about how much protein is in different foods. So that's one part of the equation. But also, how much protein a teen needs varies by their age, their weight, their level of strenuous physical activities, and their stage of growth and development. So I actually think parents are overestimating their ability to know if their teen's getting enough protein.
You also found a difference between boys and girls.
Right. So we found overall boys are using what we call the protein supplements more often than girls. So that could be protein bars, protein shakes, protein powders, using them more and also for different reasons. Parents of boys say that they think their teen boy is using protein supplements for reasons of supporting them in building muscle and athletic performance. The parents of teen girls think that that's due to like replacing a meal when they're too busy to eat or don't want to eat, and maybe to help with weight loss.
What are the potential risks associated with teens consuming protein supplements and perhaps the long-term implications?
Ideally, you want to get the right amount, and there are problems with both too little or too much. So if you go a long time with too little protein, that can result in fatigue, muscle loss, even things like mood swings. And on the other end of things, an extended period of consuming too much protein can result in dehydration, nausea, stomach pain, or long-term even kidney problems.
Can a balanced diet meet a teen's protein needs?
In most cases, yes, a balanced diet can. The challenge is, if you know a teenager, the balanced diet part is kind of hard. Teens are busy. They take a lot of their meals and snacks away from home. And I think a lot of teens, frankly, and a lot of adults, like kind of junkier foods that don't contain a lot of proteins. So it really is incumbent on parents to explain to their teen what are different sources of protein and then work with their teen to try to incorporate protein sources throughout the day. And that's a popular misconception. You could just load up at one meal. You really want it throughout the day.
And is this also a concern for teens who perhaps are vegetarians or vegans?
Teens that are vegetarian or vegans really need to do careful meal planning to make sure that they get enough protein. It's doable. It just requires a little bit more planning. And certainly, it wouldn't be as easy as reaching for a protein bar or a protein shake. We want to be smarter than that.
So let's assume the parent thinks that their teen should get a protein supplement. What advice would you give to parents to help their teen choose the right one?
If the reason is just on a day-to-day basis, whether the teen is too busy or just, you know, sleepy teens not always interested in eating breakfast, if we're trying to get protein for like a meal replacement, choose wisely, not assuming that higher protein means healthier. Look at that back package. You want protein, but also fiber, and look for no added sugars and ideally no caffeine. That's group one. Group two are the kids that are doing strenuous physical activity, football players, triathletes, swimmers. And even though they're getting protein through their diet, they often do require supplements to help with muscle recovery. In that case, a protein powder added to a smoothie or incorporated into the diet is realistic, but parents really would be well served by checking in with the nutritionist to select which protein powder would be best.
Sarah Clark from the University of Michigan, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that wraps up this week's show. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. Our internet services are provided by Pear.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll be here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Stay informed with the latest news throughout Eau Claire and the entire Chippewa Valley on our sister station, 93.5 The Tap. James Kelly and the WCFW News team has what you need to know every hour, 24 hours a day. For the latest news, talk, and discussion on what's important to you, count on 93.5 The Tap and WCFW.FM. CFW.
Amazed. Big fun to be hacked by everyone. It's up to you. You know all the words, so crank it up and sing along.
Crank it up.
The Valley's fun music, 105.7 CFW. Music 105.7 CFW.
Thank you.
Easy for you to listen to 105.7 CFW wherever you work.
Download the free Civic Media app.
Find CFW, then stream us anytime, anywhere.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has announced that Wisconsin ranked first in the country for collecting unwanted medications on Drug Take Back Weekend. According to a press release, over 55,000 pounds of unused or unwanted medications were collected this fall, with Texas ranking second with over 48,000 pounds. In total, Wisconsin ranks third for most pounds of medication collected all time, with just over 1.3 million pounds. Officials are also reminding residents that there are over 500 permanent drug disposal boxes across the state. Law enforcement authorities are warning Wisconsin residents of a new scam circulating the area involving gold bars. Residents have been receiving scam calls claiming their bank accounts have been hacked and they need to invest in gold to protect their savings. The scammers then tell their victims that the gold is safer with them and it will be sent to the Federal Reserve. The scam has already picked up about 50 victims in the state, costing them about $13 million. Authorities are reminding residents not to trust messages or calls from unknown numbers. One person was killed and another injured in a two-vehicle crash in Eau Claire on Thursday. According to the Eau Claire Police Department, the crash occurred at the intersection of Folsom Street and North Claremont Avenue at around 1 p.m. Their initial investigation found that a truck was driving on North Claremont Avenue when an SUV attempted to make a left turn onto Folsom Street and was struck by the truck. The 74-year-old driver of the SUV was taken to the hospital but later died. The passenger in the SUV was also hospitalized. The U.S. Navy Blue Angels will be making a visit to the Chippewa Valley on Tuesday. According to a press release, the Blue Angels Jet No. 7 will be at the Chippewa Valley Regional Airport at around 11 a.m. on Tuesday, giving residents a bit of a preview before their full appearance at the Chippewa Valley Air Show this summer. The visit is both to begin preparations for the air show and get residents excited to purchase their tickets, which will also be available online starting Tuesday. The air show will take place on June 28th and 29th. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Quite a bit of sunshine around the area for today. Gusty west winds up around 25 miles per hour as highs top out in the lower 50s. For tonight, mostly clear, lower 30s. Monday, look for increasing clouds and showers developing, highs in the low to mid 50s.
Currently 44 degrees.
CFW.
We are young, hearted to heart, we stand. No promises, no demands. Love is a battlefield.
We are strong. No one can tell us where to roam.
CFW.
a song for the broken hearted.
Dressed in black, she's a hunter.